time.
I think I did.
Entertain a motion to come back into regular session for public hearings.
So moved.
Second.
Here we go.
Motion is second. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lang. Mr. Moore. Whoever wants to go first.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. This is time and place for the county council to have zoning applications. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present their application. Council then will allow anyone else who wants to speak in favor of the application. After that, persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition. Persons who speak in oppositions will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If one intends to speak, one's required to come to the front, stand at speaker's stand, and state one's name and home address before making a statement. Do not repeat other comments that have been made. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made a part of a record. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now, turn it off, or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lang?
Yes. The first application is conditional use number 1926. It's the application of Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC. It's an ordinance to amend condition number 8 of the conditions of approval and ordinance number 2204 for conditional use number 1862. For Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC, as it relates to earthen berms around the perimeter of the property for a campground RV park to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in northeast of Long Neck Road, being Road 22, 1 mile east of Potnets Road, being Road 22C. For the benefit of the council and those in attendance, the council has before it a copy of a summary of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing held on March 22nd of 2012. Council also has before it a copy of an exhibit booklet that was provided by the applicant on March 12th of 2012. The commission in their public hearing also reviewed that exhibit booklet. They also received comments from Department of Transportation. That no comments were requested from the Department of Transportation or County Engineering since this application is only to amend a condition of approval. David Palasek was present on behalf of the Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC, with Gene Byard, attorney with Wilson, Outbrook, and Byard, and gave testimony. Mr. Byard also submitted an aerial photograph of the site highlighted to depict the area of the intended berm with the appropriate plantings, and that the area of the perimeter that is not highlighted will contain the additional 3 rows of indigenous trees. Barbara Dobb, a member of the Homeowner Association of Rehoboth Shores, was present in opposition and stated that the existing fencing is not being maintained, that the large number of the existing trees have died or been removed, and she is opposed to removal of the berm, and that she is still concerned about trespassing. Mrs. Dobb also submitted photographs of some of the existing fence and trees. James Robertson was present and questioned what kind of material will be used for the berm and wondered if it was to be dredged material and questioned if an environmental impact study has been performed. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. On March 22nd, 2012, the motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On April 12th of 2012, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1926 regarding Nanticoke Shores Associates LLC to amend condition number 8 of ordinance number 2204 for conditional use number 1862 as it relates to earthen berms around the perimeter of the property for the campground RV park. Based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the Planning and Zoning Commission originally recommended denial of the original application. The approval and the conditions of approval were adopted by County Council. Two, the original approval had a condition that required a 6-foot earthen berm surrounding the area of the campground RV park conditional use. Three, the Sussex Conservation District has determined that such an earthen berm around the project will obstruct lot drainage and will obstruct the natural conveyance of water across the property to the adjacent marsh and, in quotation, will act as an impoundment, potentially creating flood conditions. As a result, the Sussex Conservation District will not be able to approve the plans if they comply with this condition. Four, I feel confident that Sussex County Council did not intend to create an impoundment or impede the natural drainage of this property when it created this condition. And five, condition number 8 should be stricken as written and replaced with the following. And underlined for purpose of an amendment, it states a 50-foot vegetative buffer with a 6-foot wide earthen berm planted with indigenous trees shall be constructed around that portion of the property, or excuse me, the perimeter of the site which abuts any existing mobile homes in Rehoboth Shores running parallel to Seagull Lane, Seahawk Lane, crossing Bayview Lane, and ending at the northern portion of the site at Baybreeze Lane, screening all existing mobile homes from the view of the campground RV park site. The balance of the perimeter of the property shall have a 50-foot vegetative buffer with 3 rows of indigenous trees planted in the buffer area in addition to the trees that already exist on that portion of the perimeter of the property, thereby ensuring that best practice stormwater management will occur and that the potential for flooding the site and any portion of the developed area of Rehoboth Shores community is minimized. The perimeter of the property shall be fenced with a security gate at the entrance to the campground RV park with appropriate security lighting and shall include a separate office for this project with appropriate directional signage. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And I've received no additional comments to date since that public hearing.
Did the folks that opposed it, did they have an opportunity to see this revised condition?
Pardon?
Did the folks who came in and opposed it at planning and zoning, did they have an opportunity to see this revised condition 8?
There was no one present at other than those two parties, and they were privy to come in and ask to see it, but didn't nobody came in. Actually, the response from the applicant, I believe, took care of the problem because they were thinking it was going to impact their property and the condition would resolve it. And that was based on some of the presentation of the applicant during the public hearing. So they really didn't contact us for the decision.
Okay. As far as you know, their answers, they have answers to the questions and they're satisfied with the answers.
They must. I didn't get any questions after the public hearing.
Are there any other questions from council?
We have the pictures from this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mrs. Dobb, about the existing fencing and trees that are not what they should be.
Copy of the aerial highlighted to show the area that will be burned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Noise. Is this where the sorter is?
What?
Oak Orchard?
For the development on a sorter project. It's supposed to be in here today at 12 o'clock.
Is it a bid award?
Excuse me?
Is it a bid award or something like that?
Well, it's, the sewers have been in, I think now they're just talking about it. They're waiting to be hooked up or something.
At Oak Orchard?
Oak Orchard, yeah.
They had to.
That was at 10:30 this morning.
Excuse me?
That was at 10:30 this morning.
Well, it's on the sign over there, and our development had 2 o'clock.
No.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you, sorry to disturb you.
All right, take care. The yellow's the, what the, this description, is that yellow marking around that map?
That's the area that's gonna be burned.
That's, that reflects what number 8 says now, right, okay.
If there are no other questions, Mr. Byard?
Yes, sir, Mr. Moore. Gene Byard, on behalf of the applicant, Anixoke Shores Associates. Given the number of people who wish to be heard this afternoon, I'll be brief. I've even agreed with Garth Jones not to oppose his project if he doesn't oppose mine. If you've had time to look at the project booklet, you'll recall that this project was the subject of a conditional use application in March of 2011. The application involved replacing 260 undeveloped mobile home lots in a separate section of Rehoboth Shores with 367 RV campsites. As council will recall, the application was hotly opposed. Ultimately, on June 21st last year, council approved the conditional use application, reducing the number of RV campsites to 260 and imposing 12 conditions on the approval. No appeal was taken from that land use decision, and that decision is final. It's not a topic of discussion today. What is the topic is a portion of condition number 8, as Lawrence described. The reason we're here, as Mr. Moore's probably told you on many occasions, is that anything adopted by council by ordinance can only be amended by ordinance. Consequently, attached to a condition use has to go through the same process before planning and zoning and county council as a conditional use or change of zone. Lawrence has described the issue. Condition number 8 required 6-foot wide earthen berm around the entire perimeter of the property. The applicant has moved forward with engineering and design and ran into an impasse at soil conservation when it was advised that soil conservation looked with disfavor on a berm around the entire property. And David Kolasik, who's with me today, about that discussion. David, if you will, just introduce yourself.
My name is David Pulasic. I'm the general manager for Rehoboth Shores and Tall Pines Campground.
Can you explain why soil conservation disfavors a 6-foot wide earthen berm around the perimeter of the property?
In this particular area, if you were to put a berm around the entire area, if there was a flood or flooding rains or storm, it would create effectively a lake that would flood out the entire area and then flood back into Rehoboth Shores. So by creating this impoundment, it keeps the natural flow of water off into the wetlands, into the marsh area, that would be impossible to do.
So the threat would be if the berm were around the entire property to the existing residents in Rehoboth Shores?
Correct. It would flood. The only other direction it could go would be down Bay Boulevard into Rehoboth Shores.
Am I correct that the natural contour of the land would run stormwater into the marsh?
Yes, it does.
Before you is that revised condition that Lawrence read to you. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have. We don't think this is complicated or difficult. We have an applicant who is eager to develop and a general contractor who's more eager to find some work. Questions? Oh, Mr. Vincent, one further thing. The photographs submitted by that lady are within the existing mobile home community, not the proposed campground. And one final thing, the gentleman who was asking about whether we were going to use new or used dirt, those were his words, you can be sure, he can be sure that the applicant will use the best common and select borrow he can find because he wants the plants and indigenous trees to grow and survive.
What kind of fence will it be?
Post and rail.
Post and rail.
Like we see in the picture there, I guess.
But you would, yeah, you would, if something were to happen, you would fix the fence, unlike this is in this area.
Yes, I have not had a chance to see those pictures, so.
Please look at them. Because I assume even though it's a different part, it's the same ownership.
Yes. I don't know when these pictures were taken, but
like
all of those...
Looks like November 11th.
Yes, all of these areas have been repaired.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from council? If not, Mr. Byard, do you have anyone else?
No, I don't. That's all we have.
Is there anyone else here that'd like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone in opposition to this application? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if it's the pleasure of the council, close the public record.
We will close the public, public hearing, and if I have a motion to close public record. Question, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, to close public record. Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Moore, if you would read the short title.
Yes, an ordinance to amend condition number 8 of the conditions of approval in ordinance number 2204 for conditional use number 1862 for Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC, as it relates to earthen berms around the perimeter of the property for a campground / RV park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 50.81 acres of a 138-acre tract.
Anyone care to make a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, to approve the change to the conditional use as listed on the agenda. Any questions on this motion?
That's with the conditions, is that right?
Yes.
With the condition, with the change. Yes.
Yep, with the change.
Yeah.
Any questions on this, Mr. Wilson?
That'd be no buffers, right? I mean, no.
The only thing being voted on
no
is...
No brim. Yeah.
Right.
No berm whatsoever.
I got to be careful what word I use.
Right.
Well, just it's the way it's written by P&Z.
Any more questions?
Right. We're not sure.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, I do. I would vote to approve that and the change in, based on the reasons given by planning and zoning. And the vote is to amend condition 8 under CU 1926.
Cole.
Yes, for the same reasons as Mrs. Deaver just expressed.
Phillips?
She's so articulate.
Yes, it would appear that the previous design could have created an environmental hazard. My vote is yes with the recommendation from planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson?
I go on the recommendation of planning and zoning, yes.
I also agree with recommendation of planning and zoning, and the last thing we want to do is to create any additional problem with flooding anywhere. I will vote yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay. Mr. President, on this next one, I'm on the advice of our legal counsel, I'm going to have to excuse myself because I have a business relationship with Royal Farms, and it might be seen as being a conflict.
Thank you for stopping by today and visiting with us.
And I hate to leave early.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
You come late and leave early. You're getting pretty good at it.
Got another class.
Nope. I'm heading to the beach, boys.
Have a good trip.
It's a nice day down there.
Mr. Moore?
Yes, this next application is CU 1927, the application of Two Farms, Inc. Mr. Lank?
Yes, this is an application conditional use 1927. It's the application of Two Farms, Incorporated to consider conditional use of land in AR1 Agriculture Residential District for a convenience store with gas pumps to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 8.88 acres, more or less, lying east of U.S. Route 13 and south of Route 24. For the benefit of council, this application was reviewed through public hearing by the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 22nd of 2012. Before you, the copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. I do have a copy of the survey site plan. Do you have one on either boat? Sure, self-explanatory. The county engineer, DLDOT provided comments in a form of memorandum and letter in reference to the traffic impact study performed on the site, which is a part of the record. The county engineering department utility planning division provided comments. The Sussex Conservation District provided comments. We did receive a letter from Carolyn McO'Neill, an adjacent property owner, originally in opposition, and she did change her comments during the public hearing. Jeff Bainbridge of Two Farms Incorporated was president of Garth Jones, professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group. Mr. Jones provided and gave testimony, and Mr. Jones and Mr. Bainbridge did also provide testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Ross questioned why the applicant did not seek a CR1 zoning classification since the property includes a small area of C1 general commercial zone land and is at a major intersection. On March 22nd, Mr. Ross made a motion. It was seconded by Mr. Smith and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On April 12th of 2012, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Ross stated that he had a motion prepared, but asked if any of the commissioners had any comments. Mr. Johnson stated it may have been more appropriate to rezone this property since a portion of the property is already zoned C1 general commercial, and since the site is between other commercial uses and zones. All the commissioners agreed that it may have been appropriate to rezone the property. Mr. Ross stated he had moved that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1927 for Two Farms Incorporated for a convenience store with gas pumps based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this site is appropriate for a use such as this. It is at the corner intersection of U.S. Route 13 and Route 24. Two, a portion of this site is currently zoned commercial. The entire site is currently used for commercial and business purposes. The proposed use is consistent with the prior zoning and use of this property. Three, a convenience store with gas pumps is an appropriate use for a property such as this with frontage on U.S. Route 13. It is also in close proximity to the town of Laurel. Four, the redevelopment of this property as a convenience store with gas pumps under either a conditional use or commercial zoning is in accordance with the current Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Five, in making this recommendation, it is also my suggestion that the applicant consider seeking rezoning of the property to CR1 commercial residential zoning. That way, the entire parcel would be brought under one zoning classification with more clear guidelines for the site plan and development of the property. With the current split zoning of C1 commercial and AR1 agriculture residential with a conditional use, designing the project is more cumbersome than it would be under a uniform commercial zoning for the entire site. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, unless the applicant supply for commercial zoning for the entire property, the use shall be limited to a convenience store with gas pumps. This conditional use shall not affect the ongoing operation of O'Neill's Auction Center store, which also currently exists on the property. B, the applicants will comply with all DLDOT entrance and access requirements. C, landscape plan shall be included as part of the final site plan approval process. The landscape plan shall include details about the buffer along U.S. Route 13 required by the combined highway corridor overlay zone classification that applies to this property. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted on the conditional use portion of this site. The sign regulations applicable to commercial districts shall govern that portion of the site that is currently zoned C1 general commercial. E, the conditions of approval shall be noted on the final site plan, and F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. It was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, is the applicant or the applicant's representative here?
Yes, my name is Garth Jones. I'm a civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group out of Dover, Delaware. We are the site engineers for the project. I brought a couple of material, presentation material. It's a little hard to see, But essentially, this request, Two Farms, Inc. is proposing to build a row of farms, and it involves two properties. We're on the southeast corner of 24 and U.S. 13 near Laurel, and there's a little corner commercial property that is now a expert auto repair, and then there's the O'Neill property. The conditional use we're asking for, although the rural farms will be on both properties and we're going to consolidate both properties into one parcel, the conditional use we're requesting for is on the O'Neill's piece, which was a subject of a conditional use several years ago. This is a rendered site plan showing the location of the rural farms, proposing about a 5,800 square foot store with two fuel depot canopies, totaling about 32 gas pumps. We've had a traffic impact study done by DelDOT, and they made several recommendations as far as improvements to 13 and to also Route 24. Essentially, DelDOT's going to permit a right-in and right-out entrance only on 13, and as a result of that, we have to construct a right-turn lane on Route 13 to access our site. The existing entrance on 24, shown here, that's the entrance now being used by O'Neill Auction Center. We're going to maintain that entrance, bring it up to DelDOT standards. As part of the project, we'll also have to put in a left turn lane as you're coming west toward Laurel. So we'll put a left turn lane into the site. And then as you make the turn from 13 on to 24, we'll also put a right turn lane into the site. We'll have to address stormwater management as part of the project. Currently, on the south side of the O'Neill site, there's an existing pond there now. Our goal is to get most of our stormwater. There's swale in the front, swale in the back. Utilize those swales as bioswales. Expand the pond, which is pretty much a dry pond now, and use that for stormwater management. We're also hoping to put some type of bioretention area up in the corner of 13 and 24 that will discharge into DelDOT's drainage system. There is no public sewer or public water available to this site. We're outside town limits. So there's been a soil evaluation study done and approved by DENREC. The O'Neill's Auction Center has an existing on-site septic system, and we are going to expand that to accommodate both the O'Neill's and the Rural Farm store. And then there will be a new well installed that will serve the Rural Farm project.
So O'Neill's still stay where they are?
O'Neill's for now is still staying where they are.
And they have a conditional use?
They currently have a conditional use for
it. For whatever, for their purpose, I assume?
Yes.
And this is going to be on the exact same piece of land?
Yes.
It'll be a part of it. There's going to be two parcels. They're buying the part in front that is not O'Neill's, but then they're buying part of O'Neill's, which is the subject of this application. So there actually will be the new conditional use on Justice.
They're buying all of it.
Pardon?
They're buying all of O'Neill's.
Oh, buying all.
And the expert auto repair site at the corner.
Well, I guess my question is better maybe to Lawrence.
That's right. Right.
You're
going to have two uses on the same property. They're going to combine the parcels. They're going to have the Rural Farm store in the corner, and O'Neill's will continue to operate for however long they agree to allow O'Neill's to continue.
Is that a normal thing to have two different issues on the same piece of land?
It's happened a few times, but it's rare, but it does happen. The suggestion of the commission was that it may have been more appropriate to rezone it because they're surrounded by commercial activities along Route 13.
Well, we've done two things since the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission raised one of the comments about shared parking, and I just want to make sure that There will be no shared parking there. We laid out a parking scheme on O'Neill's site. It's an unpaved parking lot. It's a stone parking lot. But for the O'Neill's auction site, they require 67 spaces, and we can get 90 on their site. And then Royal Farms, we're actually going to provide 75 spaces. So we've added some additional parking since this rendering was done. I've talked to Two Farms, Inc., who's the applicant. They are agreeable that if we get through, you know, conditional use approval and get our site approvals, once they get under construction, they're willing to come back and file for a, you know, rezoning to commercial. At this point, the way these rural farms work, they're under a tight schedule, the design schedule, construction schedule. They're looking to bid this out in the fall of this year, and we've started the conditional use process back in February to go back to rezoning, but cost a little bit of time.
Well, Mr. Lank, I have a question. Although condition number one states that it will not affect the ongoing operation of O'Neill's, what are the conditions that O'Neill's is currently operating under, and do they need to be referenced here?
I'm not sure if I have the O'Neill's. I have to look in a folder and see if I had the original O'Neill's. I'm not sure if I do or not, but I think I did. It was minimal at the time.
It was minimal.
So if you want to proceed, I'll find it if I have.
Does the Two Farms own all that? What's the yellow goes around your line? What do they own? What have they bought?
They haven't settled yet, but when they do, they will own this entire piece of property.
Okay. So they're going to own O'Neill's and all everything in
there? They'll own the entire site of the O'Neill's auction, which is about 8.8 acres. Mm-hmm. And they'll own this, which is about 7 acres. Mm-hmm. Of this corner parcel.
That was a former gas station there one time, right? Up on the corner.
Years ago it was.
Years ago, yeah. Only got the one entrance to that place? Only one entrance? Is that all they're going to have?
Excuse me?
They're going to have the one entrance, or are they going to come off the, or can they come off the dual and go in there too?
They're going to have a right in, right out off of 13.
Off the dual.
And mm-hmm. then they'll have a full movement entrance here.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a copy of the original conditional use for O'Neill's in the file.
But when you looked at them, you did not see a conflict between...
There wasn't anything major in the condition. It would have been, they had to have site plan approval. They were limited on their signage. They've been parking, just general. There wasn't anything major.
Okay, since this is for the entire site, the signage, would restrictions on the signage on O'Neill's plus any signage that is on this, because this states one lighted sign, would O'Neill's lighted sign still be allowed to operate? Since
the O'Neill's have an existing sign. They may have to incorporate the signs as one because you only allow one on-premise sign.
Right.
And if on the conditional, on the commercial site, since it already exists, would be eligible for a 200-square-foot sign on each street.
Okay.
Serve the site for the Royal Farms truck.
So if I understand you correctly, the existing commercial could have the one large sign, and then the O'Neill site would be looking at a combined sign for O'Neill's plus.
It would be limited to because of square footage.
Right.
The ordinance provides that a conditional use can have a signage that complies with the commercial requirements, typically B1. But the conditions of approval have been over years to just limit them to 32 square foot. And I'm not sure if O'Neill's was limited to that or not. The condition Mr. Ross quoted for the signage related to 32 square foot like's typical for a conditional use.
Right, because
but the ordinance does provide for more, but since it's a conditional use, you can reduce it to that size.
Right.
And I'm not sure what O'Neill's have. I'd have to look at that.
But looking at D, since this is now the conditional use for the entire site, it would be the 32 square feet total signage on the O'Neill track.
On the conditional use, right.
And that would be a benefit for the rezoning to commercial, one of the big benefits. For now, We're looking at locating a pylon sign. We can have two pylon signs, one on 13 and one on 24, and we would locate those, because once we combine the parcels, the lot line goes away, so we don't have the setback from side yard lot line. So we would locate them as close to the commercial zoning line as possible on 13 and 24.
Would they have to be on the commercial at this point until they come back in, Lawrence?
Yes, it would.
That's what I thought.
Unless the council chose to strike the 32 square foot portion of that condition.
What was the application? Did the application reference it?
No. No, it doesn't really. That's the condition that the commission recommended. Were to change that condition, then you would just leave it as it would comply with a commercial zoning category, and that affects the conditional use also. But it would be in the conditional use area, it would be limited to a certain size. Let me see. I think it's still 200 square foot. Oh, I know it's 200 square foot, but I don't know if it's related to the B1, which would be, B1 would be an on-premise sign, which it could go to 200 square foot. I don't even have to look it up. Okay. To C1, the C1 would allow for the same size as it relates to the B1 on premise, and they're not proposing any off premise signs being advertised in for other facilities elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Did you have anything else to add in your presentation?
No.
Okay. I take it you have no other witnesses.
No.
Council have any further questions? You do have one.
This is just a coloring architectural elevation of what the Wool Farms would look like.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Again, seeing none, Mr. President, at this point, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if it's the council's pleasure, we can close the public record.
We'll close public hearing and entertain a motion to close public record.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, sure. Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a convenience store with gas pumps to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 8.88 acres, more or less, with conditions as referenced by Mr. Lank in his presentation and as contained on page 6 on your handout and designated as conditions A through F.
Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was. The motion was to approve, and you're asking for my vote.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I do approve of it, and I think it's a great location for that kind of business. And I also am using the planning and zoning's reasons and the conditions in my vote.
Phillips.
I vote yes. It does seem like an appropriate location. It does seem as if making the entire parcel commercial makes sense, and I'm glad planning and zoning put that language in the recommendation.
Wilson.
I vote yes on the recommendation of P&Z.
Based on planning and zoning recommendations, it does seem to be an ideal location to do something like that right on 13 and 24. And hopefully they will request to change the zone. All one zoning area. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. And motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Request on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you. Thank